title of our message tonight is Miracles. Miracles. I begin with a story that is a true story. Sometimes we wish it was not true, but it is true. It's the story of a woman who was a member of a Seventh-day Adventist church. She was in a terrible accident, and she was paralyzed from the waist down. She could not walk. And so she had a few friends, and one of them was Pentecostal. And she said, "You know, why don't you come to our camp meeting? People get healed all the time. And I know that God has a blessing for you this time. I just feel it in my heart. So just come." She says, "No, you know I'm not into that speaking in tongues thing." I appreciate Pastor Chabi's message earlier today to teach us about false revival. Super important. So we don't get caught up in fanaticism. The gospel of power. So I'm thankful that God gave him the impression to share that. And this woman was resistant to going to these kind of camp meetings because of the charismatic phenomenon speaking in tongues, unutterable languages. But her friend continued to persist. And just like the pastor said earlier today, many of us still go to these things. So she went, and sure enough, at the end of all the hollering, at the end of the sermon, the pastor said, "Someone's going to get their blessing tonight." And he pointed to her in the wheelchair. And she started shaking her head. She said, no, I'm not. I don't believe in these kind of things." She says, "No, you have to go. You have to go." So everyone started cheering and chanting and motioning for her to come. So finally she was wheeled up to the front. And the pastor said, "Raise your hands." And he put his hands on her forehead. He says, "Repeat after me." He started quoting this prayer. And then he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Boom. She felt some sort of pulse through her body. She stood up out of the wheelchair. This was not one of those fake miracles. This was not just a parlor trick. Someone they paid to pretend like they were paralyzed. That happens a lot too. But as a result, she stood up and she started walking. Not only did she start walking, she started leaping. There's a song that I sing to my daughter, with my daughter. It says, you know, Peter and John went to pray, and they met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm, looking for alms, and this is what Peter did say: "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he was walking and leaping and praising God. So she started walking and leaping and praising God. So she went back home, and everyone was so excited, they started buying her different kinds of shoes to remember what God had done. Said, "You know, sister, it doesn't matter whether you run or whether you walk. It's the fact that you can walk. It's a miracle." But later on that week, she went to church that Sabbath, and word had gotten to her pastor. We thank God for godly ministers. He said, "Sister, can I talk to you in my office for a moment?" So she sat down. And the pastor said, "I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Would you turn there with me just now?" One of our young people mentioned this last night. Revelation chapter 16. And verse 13. When you're there, you could say amen. Revelation 16, verse 13, the Bible says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons." The spirits of what? Demons. Fallen angels. Performing miracles. "Which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty." He said, "Ma'am, I want you to know that every miracle is not from God. Some miracles are worked by demons. And she said, Pastor, are you suggesting that the devil healed me? Why would he do that? And he said, well, sister, the devil doesn't believe in a free lunch. He doesn't believe in giving things at no extra cost, no feedback, no recompense. So what I recommend you do, I'm not saying this is not of God, but I am saying pray about it. So she walked out of the pastor's office a little bit troubled, as you can imagine. As she went home that night, she was thinking and thinking and thinking, and she decided right before she turned in for the night that she would say this prayer, the hardest prayer she ever prayed in her life. She said, Lord, I don't want anything from the devil. If this is of the devil, take it away. In Jesus' name, amen. She went to sleep. She woke up the next morning. Pain shot through her legs. She couldn't walk. She was paralyzed again. Her friends were calling her to go for a jog. She finally was able to reach the phone. She said, hello. She says, sister, where are you? We've been looking for you. We're ready to go jogging. She says, oh, I can't get out of bed. She's like, don't be silly. She's like, God bless you with those feet. You better run. She says, no, you don't understand. I can't get out of bed. My legs are paralyzed again. She said, what do you mean? She says, well, she told her the story of what happened with her pastor. And the lady said, your pastor is a liar. She says, no, 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 don't blame my pastor. I prayed. And I told God, if this is not of him, take it away. She says, why would you pray that prayer? That was a lack of faith. You should have never questioned the blessing of God. She says, that's why he took it away. Because you questioned. She says, no, that's not the Jesus I know. She says, no, sister, you doubt God, he will take away your blessing. She says, no, out of the 10 lepers, only one came to say thank you. The other 9 were still healed. That's not the God that I serve. She says, if it was not from him, I knew that he would take it away. She hung up the phone and lived to tell that story, paralyzed the rest of her life, raising the question, if every miracle is not of God, then what is a miracle? We assume that if something is miraculous, it must have been done by God. But you see, the Bible suggests in Revelation that in the end times, we got to understand that everything that is supernatural does not come from God. The word miracle comes from the Latin word mirari. It means to wonder. But you see, in order to define what exactly is a miracle, and so permit me to go into this a little bit before we get into our message proper. You see, there are two kinds of people in the world. How many? Two kinds of people. There's a naturalist and a supernaturalist. What's the first one? The naturalist. You see, the naturalist believes that nature is all that exists. Nature is the whole show. That's everything. Whatever there is all Mother Nature. But you see, the supernaturalist says that nature is not all that exists. You see, there are things outside of nature that affect nature. And so as a result, when we look at the debate of creation evolution, when we look at the concept of why people doubt religion, particularly Bible religion, the miracles of Jesus, there are even liberal Christian scholars that say the miracles in the Bible are not actual miracles because they are naturalists, they're not supernaturalists. So what exactly is the difference? You see, people who are naturalists believe that whatever we perceive with our five senses is nature. That is reality. But the problem is that doesn't work. Because we perceive our emotions, and it's not through your 5 senses. You know when you're angry. It doesn't taste like anything. Amen? So permit me to use some questions to help guide us into what we mean by natural or nature. Because a supernaturalist believes that there are things that happen in life that just aren't natural. So the first one is, let's say someone asks this question. They went to an elderly woman in the church and they said, are those your natural teeth? Or is that a set? I don't recommend you ask someone that. Or maybe you might say something like, the dog in his natural state is covered with fleas. Or you might say, I love to get away from the city and be alone in nature. These are things that we say all the time. Or maybe there's a young guy who's meeting his girlfriend's parents for the first time. And as they are ringing the doorbell, she notices that her boyfriend's getting a little bit nervous. His hands are getting a little bit sweaty. She says, honey, it's okay. Just be natural. Or maybe the guy might say something like, you know it may have been wrong to kiss her, but it seemed so natural. You see, in all of these statements, when we talk about nature or natural, this is what we mean. We mean something that happens of its own self, something that comes of its own accord, something that you will get if you take no measure to stop it. This is nature. This is natural. So you see, are those your natural teeth? What we mean by natural is, are those the teeth that come of their own selves, or were they designed in a dental office? When we say the dog in his natural state is covered with fleas, that means if no one takes that dog aside and washes him, he will be covered with fleas. This is what you will get if you take no measure to stop it. When he says, I love to get away from the city and be alone in nature, as if there is no nature in the city. There's all kinds of plants, trees. But what do we mean? We want to go to a place that's untouched by humanity. That's simply just growth that comes of its own self. When it says to her boyfriend, honey, just be natural, what she's saying is, just act as if you're not meeting my dad for the first time. Just be yourself. Don't let it affect you. Don't let it change your mood. Don't try to impress my dad. Just be natural. Be who you are, assuming we take no measures to change that. You see, brothers and sisters, in the Bible, the concept of a miracle is the concept of something that just does not happen of its own self. This is something that is unnatural, or what we call supernatural. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. We're going to begin in verse 23. We've had a long day, so I'll try not to be too long. We've had our fill today in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Are you there? Can you say amen? The Bible says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to doing evil. We need to start off with the question itself. The question is, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spots? I want you to first notice, this is not a question of desire. Does the Ethiopian want to change his skin? That is not the question. This is not a question of permission. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Like when I come home and say, can I have some chapati? This is not a question of permission. This is not a question of expectation. Miss Mary, can we have chapati tonight when I'm done preaching? Yes, chapati is going to be in every example. This is not a question of expectation. This is also a question of ability. This is not asking, does the Ethiopian want to change his skin? Does he permit it to change his skin? Is he expected to change his skin? This is a question of ability. Does he have the skill? Does he have the means? Does he have the power, the opportunity to change his skin? I remember when I was preaching in Ethiopia, I told them I have to preach on this in Ethiopia. They said, are you sure? I said, because people suggest that Ethiopians have beautiful skin. So I said, it's important to ask this question in Ethiopia. But you see, the Bible says, if the Ethiopian can change his skin, then we also may do good who are accustomed to doing evil. In other words, you and I are just as likely to do good as the Ethiopian is able to change his skin. You're not following what I'm saying. You see, the Bible is trying to get across something. Is an Ethiopian able to change his skin? Yes or no? Does he have the power? You see, by the time you were born and you had your skin, it was too late. The Ethiopian had nothing to do with choosing his skin. I always thought it would be interesting that if you're coming out of the birth canal and right before you're born, they show up with a little rack of different skin tones. They say, well, what are you looking for? Do you want Hispanic, you know, kind of bronze? Are you looking for Middle Eastern brown? Are you looking for African black? Are you looking for American black? Are you looking for South African? Are you looking for Asian? Do you want a little bit of Indonesian tone? You don't get to choose. It is given to you. Your skin came of its own self. Your skin came because it was natural. Are you following me? And in order for me to change my own skin, it would be supernatural. That means it would not come of its own self. You see, if I got here on Friday night, and when Amoka picked me up, he says, man, this brother, he, you know, he looks like a Caribbean, African American. And then I stood up to preach on Sabbath and I looked like a white man. Then I got up the next day and I looked like I was from China. You think that's not natural? Can you say amen? You say something's going on with this brother. There is something supernatural happening in his experience. Because we do not naturally change our skin. But the Bible is saying, if changing your skin is supernatural, then so is doing good. Doing good is not natural to us. He says, in order for the Ethiopian to change, to make or become different, to use instead of. In other words, the word of God is trying to tell us tonight that in order for you and I to do good, it would take a miracle. It would take something supernatural. You see, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah is making an argument this evening. He is saying we can change our majors. We can change schools. We can change clothes. We can change diapers. We can change hairstyle, but you can't change your behavior. You have no power, and I have no power to live a righteous life, to do good when we are accustomed to doing evil. You see, every one of us in this room tonight have an evil that we are accustomed to. There is what they called last night your sweetheart. You see, they were trying to be nice about it, but tonight not going to be nice about it. Because many of us know that there's an evil inside of our hearts. We are waiting to go home to practice this evil. Our evil comes on YouTube. Some of our evil is in our iPod. Some of our evil are certain websites that we know we don't want access to when our parents are around. Some of our evil comes in the form of books. Some of our evil is slipping out in the middle of the night for the affair, knowing that we have an evil that we are accustomed to. And the Bible is saying you are more likely to break this evil in your life than you are to change your own skin tone. If you can change your skin, then you can do good. If you are accustomed to doing evil. You see, brothers and sisters, it is supernatural. It is not natural for people to come to camp meeting. It is not natural for people to come here and pray. It is not natural for men to preach. It is not natural for us to want to pray or to study the Bible or to fellowship or even to do evangelism. Whenever we talk about outreach, people always say, you know, that's for the preacher to do. I don't have that kind of personality. I don't like to talk to strangers. I don't like to reach out and just talk to random people and pass out tracts. That's not natural. That's okay because I'm a supernaturalist. I believe that things can happen that don't naturally take place. I believe that there is a power amidst in the humanity that is able to come into his experience and cause a man to do things he would never naturally do. You see, some of us think when we look at the preacher, he was born preaching. I didn't come out of the womb talking about turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. That's not how I was born. I wasn't raised growing up talking about, let me tell you about a praying man. No, that's not natural. If some of us understand what it means to have a testimony, then we understand what I'm talking about. I wasn't born this way. I did not come this way. I came in broken goods, messed up. And God says, listen, Sebastian, you got no power to change yourself. You are more likely to change your skin tone than you are to do good, knowing you're accustomed to doing evil. And so we are told in Steps to Christ, page 31, if you see your sinfulness, do not wait to make yourself better. How many there are who think they are not good enough to come to Christ? Do you expect to become better through your own efforts? That is the question the prophet asked. Do you expect to become better through your own efforts? And many of us, the answer is yes. We do expect to become better. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. Are you listening to me tonight? We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. Too many of us are thinking, if I do this, if I do that. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to understand our own message. We said that we exist to proclaim the first, second, and third angel's message to all the world in this generation. And the third angel's message is not about beasts and marks. It's not about, oh, where are you going to get the sign, or don't get a barcode on your arm. That's not what the third angel's message is about. The third angel's message is righteousness by faith. And righteousness by faith is about Jeremiah 13, verse 23. It's about recognizing that humanity is lost. They're gone. There's no way to bring a man or a woman back on the side of righteousness unless a power outside of that soul comes into their experience. In order for an Ethiopian to change his skin, in order for a leper to change his spots, it would require a power outside of himself to come into his life. It would require something above him, outside of him, supernatural to come. And that power is Jesus. So now we understand that when we talk about miracles, we're talking about something that is supernatural. But I'm not talking about just any miracle. Because the question of tonight is not about your cousin. It's not about your friend or your brother who's in and out of jail. It's not about your angry father. It's not about your neglectful mother. It's not about your sexually promiscuous roommate or your backslidden Christian friend. This is about you. What do you do about the evil in your own life? What are we doing about our own wickedness? What can we do? The Ethiopian, his own skin. This is not, can the Ethiopian change his brother's skin? The question is, can you change your own skin? Can you change something about yourself? But the Bible says, if there is miracle, if there are such things as miracles, if miracles are possible, then morality is possible. If miracles are possible, it is possible to live a righteous life. You cannot, and I cannot, believe in righteousness and not believe in miracles. You and I cannot believe in living a good life and not believe in miracles. We cannot believe that a person can always tell the truth and be honest and not believe in miracles. You see, Jesus always taught us what the point of a miracle is. Go to Mark chapter 2. We're almost done. Mark chapter 2. Looking at verses 5 to 7. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus brings up a very important point about miracles. Mark chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. Are you there? Can you say amen? The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are what? Forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God, what? Alone. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never have seen anything like this before. In other words, Jesus is letting us know the reason why he worked miracles in his ministry. We don't ask enough questions. We just read the Gospels and we say, oh yes, of course, Jesus worked miracles. But why? Why is it that the Gospels are filled with miracles is the question. Gospels are filled with miracles because every single miracle was teaching what Jesus could do in people's spiritual life. He was trying to show them, don't you understand? So you know I have authority to forgive sins. I'm going to tell this man, rise, take up your bed and walk. Because I can do the supernatural in the physical, I can do the supernatural in the spiritual. Take that one amen. We don't understand what we're talking about tonight. If we understood this truth, we don't have to go home and sin ever again. If we understood this truth, we could understand all the words of Jesus to every man, every woman he's ever healed were directed towards us. We could understand that on this very night, Jesus could come and he could say, woman, thou art loose. We could understand tonight that Jesus could say to a paralyzed man who's been in a state of sin for 37 years, rise, take up your bed and walk. We could understand that when he comes down to the blind man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash and you will come see. All of a sudden we recognize, man, I've been stuck in the same muck for a long time. Too many of us have been dealing with the same sins for too long. And tonight is the night that Jesus says, whoever is looking for a miracle is able to get one. We're not talking about miracles that we think, oh yeah, I want to see a person healed. I want to see a person rise out of a wheelchair and walk. I want to see the sick healed. Jesus says, healing the sick is nothing. We're talking about spiritual sickness. We're talking about people that have been discouraged for a long time. We're talking about a man that can't keep his stuff in his pants. We're talking about a woman who's been dealing with insecurity all her life. And Jesus says, I'm trying to free you from this nonsense. I'm trying to tell you to rise above the muck that we call womanhood and walk the true Christian walk of a woman. I'm trying to tell you on this very night that miracles are possible. But you see, it is always like the woman with the issue of blood. Because the Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. We turn to all kinds of things to heal our problems. We think we're going to heal our pride by reading some books. We think we're going to get a couple cliche phrases. Oh, let me read John Maxwell and do this and this and this. That's not trying. Brothers and sisters, just like this woman, we turn to every single thing. And until this woman recognized, I am no better listening to these physicians, she finally decided in her mind, I'm going to go and try Jesus. Now people want to turn to God. 12 years having this problem. Turning to this and that and this and that. And all along, there is Christ. Turning to this preacher, pastor, pray for me. All along, there is Christ. And so that woman walking through that crowd. And as she came into the crowd, she could see Jesus, but there was too many people around him. So she decided, you know what? I don't even need to talk to him. I don't even need to touch him. I just want to touch the hem of his garments. So as she reached out into the crowd, touching his garment, Jesus stopped. He said, somebody touch me. Everybody started laughing. Jesus, you're in a multitude. Everybody's touching you. He said, no, no, no. This touch is different. I felt something this time. So he said, somebody touch me. And there was the woman shaking in the background of the crowd. Didn't want to tell the story that she had an issue for 12 years. Didn't want to lay all her business out for the church to gossip. Didn't want to lay all that nonsense out so people can say, oh, that's the girl right there. Don't ever try to marry her. She didn't want to say nothing, but Jesus wouldn't let her off the hook. Somebody touch me. So finally she threw herself at Jesus' feet. And he says, woman, your faith has made you whole. It wasn't the touch, because all these people are touching Jesus, but we recognize it was casual touch. Jesus recognized her touch was the touch of faith. She was a woman who was a supernaturalist, and Jesus was filled with a church who were naturalists. He was surrounded by people who were coming in contact with him, but feeling no healing. She wasn't the only one broken in the crowd. She wasn't the only one with an issue. She wasn't the only one grappling in her mind, what can I do to get out of my situation? But she was the only one who was willing to come to Jesus with a touch of faith, with the mindset of a supernaturalist. She came to Christ believing in miracles. And she said, I just need to touch the hem. So as a result, tonight, Christ is saying to you and to me, this camp meeting, people's lives are being changed. But the only lives that are changed are the ones that are not coming with casual touch. Right here in this place, someone's going to look back years from now and say, that camp meeting, Karen Gata 2014, changed my whole life. And someone's going to say, oh, I barely even remember the sermons. Casual touch. People are going to walk out of here and they're going to be free from sins and burdens. They've been burdened down for years. And many of us go home with the same foolishness. Casual touch. Every single opportunity to come in contact with Jesus is an opportunity for a miracle. But the question is, who comes with a touch of faith? Who comes with a touch of faith? We don't need any loud band. We don't need any loud music. We don't need bright lights or a sanctuary covered in gold to let us know that God is among us. But we look at this and say, man, God can't be in this church. God can't be moving right now. People are not yelling and hollering and saying amen. That's not the issue. God is willing to touch who is willing to reach out with the touch of faith. So tonight, I don't need to extend this any bit longer than it needs to be. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling his church to be free from the burden of sin. And the song says, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Who in this room is going to have the courage of that woman? Who in this room is actually a supernaturalist? A true believer in miracles? Who in this room will acknowledge, Lord, I can do nothing of myself? Who in this room will acknowledge on this very night, Lord, righteousness by faith is laying into the dust my own glory? To say, I could do nothing to save myself. That's why we put our crowns down at his feet in heaven. We're not there because of anything of ourselves. It's because it was supernatural. That there is a power outside of me that came into my life and changed me. Who in this room says, Lord, I'm willing to come. Not with casual touch, but I'm willing to come with the touch of faith. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Tonight, Jesus wants to free someone from the burden of sin. Tonight, Jesus is looking for someone who is saying, Lord, I need a miracle. Is there someone here tonight that says, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a power outside myself to come into my experience and cause me to do good.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.